It's time for Operation Freedom with your host, Dr. Dave Janda, on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham Talk 1600.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dave Janda. Welcome back to Operation Freedom. I'd like to thank you for joining me today. We're here every Sunday from 2 to 5 Eastern, also available 24/7 at davejanda.com. Our radio show, Operation Freedom, just celebrated its 11th anniversary this past week. And one of the topics we have focused on for the past 11 years has been your financial freedom and liberty, safety and security. The information that's presented on this platform is drastically different than what you will ever get through Fox Business News or CNBS or Reuters or Bloomberg, because they are focused in keeping you in the system and our focus is on your economic and financial freedom. One of the regular guests of this platform is Bill Holter, who has saved countless people from financial ruin based on his insight and his courage of telling you what you need to know and what the deep state operatives and elite do not want you to know. Little background on Bill. After a lengthy career in financial services, Bill retired in 2006, moved his family out of the United States. Good timing. He then returned in 2011 and currently makes his home in the great state of Texas. He joined Miles Franklin as an associate writer in 2012, posted commentaries to their website until early 2015. Bill is also a precious metals trader. And again, you can get Bill's help on precious metals trading through Miles Franklin, Miles, M-I-L-E-S, Franklin.com. Bill is working now in collaboration as well with the great Jim Sinclair and helping to educate and enlighten folks. You can get to Bill and Jim's information through a fantastic website, JS Mindset, M-I-N-E-S-E-T, jsmindset.com. Bottom line, folks, Bill Holter is one of the best forensic economic analysts in the world. It's my honor to welcome back my friend Bill Holter. Bill, welcome back to the Operation Freedom platform.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
Okay, Bill, let's start with something that some people might consider insider trading. But if you're a member of the Fed, it's just another day at the office. Headline, Powell's stock trades. This would be Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board. Powell's stock trades leaked, show multi-million sale as market tanked. The prospect revealed that amid 26 publicly disclosed transactions in 2020, Powell sold between $1 million and $5 million worth of stock from his personal account on October 1st, 2020. Well, the optics of that, since there was significant market turmoil, is a bit troubling in that the Fed chair actively traded at a time of historic market turmoil. And in fact, Bill, if we traded on insider information as Powell had, you and I would be conducting this interview from our cell block in prison.
Yeah, we'd be using a couple of tin cans and a string to talk to each other from cell to cell. The interesting thing is the Powell revelation is after three other Fed governors had been outed and found out that they had been front-running the market. And one of them was absolutely huge. I mean, millions upon millions of dollars. And they're not releasing what the trades actually were. I believe they cleared, if I could be mistaken, but I believe they cleared through Goldman Sachs. And there is zero information coming out at this point. Other than the fact that it happened, we don't know what the trades were. We don't know how much they were. We know they were in the multi-millions of dollars, but we don't know the specifics. And even through freedom of information, it's being stonewalled. So there's something really, really bad. And for them to be able to have their hands on the levers of finance, pushing and pulling, increasing or decreasing money supply, raising or lowering interest rates, and they have the ability to trade before that, that is blatant, outright criminality.
Now, in addition, Bill, and I believe it's legal for members of Congress to trade on inside information, as hard as that is to believe.
It is.
But it's true, isn't it?
But it's not moral.
No.
It is legal for a senator or representative to trade on any information that they have. But is that moral? Absolutely not.
So many people always say, well, I don't understand it. You know, these people in Washington, they're making, let's say, $100,000 a year. And, well, they work there for 10 years and their net worth goes up by $20 million. That's exactly how it works, isn't it, Bill?
Right. They make $174,000 a year. And on $174,000 a year, how in 10 years, 20 years, do you amass a $20, $40, $100 million net worth? You can't, unless you have inside information and you can front run the trades, either in or out.
So now let's turn to another aspect of Washington, that being the White House. I think her official title is press secretary. I call her the propagandist in chief. Jen Psaki addressed the economy the other day. She's not doing it currently because, well, she's at home fully vaccinated with COVID. Jen Psaki says the empty store shelves and rising prices are due to, well, really, how well the economy is doing and the fact that there is increasing demand by the public. Bill, this is bass-ackwards, in my opinion.
Well, it absolutely is. This is the shortages you're seeing are not from a rosy economy. People have seen over the last close to 2 years now, store shelves get wiped out because of COVID. Mm-hmm. People have seen for close to 2 years now, all sorts of supply chain problems where what used to be an order that would be shipped within a week is now being shipped in 3 months or 6 months or not. What this is people trying to protect themselves. They're out purchasing what they think that they're going to need in the future because they don't know that they're going to be able to get it. I mean, I've done that with quite a few items. I bought enough air conditioning parts to repair two full air conditioners. I have two water wells on property. I bought an entire new water well system in parts so that if anything breaks, I can get it. And as a matter of fact, my well guy just called me a week ago, and I did this about 3 or 4 months ago. He told me, you know, the prices are now 30 to 40% higher, and there's a 60-day wait at least to get the parts. So people are seeing those types of things and deciding, okay, I'd rather not have money in the bank, A, because, you know, I may wake up one day and the money's gone, the bank's closed, whatever. And if I do have the money, I might not be able to buy the part or whatever item. So she's completely full of crap as far as a rosy economy is causing shortages. No. And a perfect example is, what was the very first thing that Biden signed when he got into office? He shut down the pipeline.
True.
That was the very first thing he did. And now we're no longer energy independent. And what has happened to the price of oil and gas and even coal?
Through the roof. Through the roof.
Right, exactly. And that is a man-made crisis. And that's what they're doing, is they're creating a supply chain crisis, which then morphs into price. They've created it on purpose.
Well, and then there's another issue on the burner that's about to move from the back burner to the front burner. Headline, this is from Pam Martins and Russ Martins, very good financial journalist. Biden's nominee, Omarova, for the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, has published a plan to move all bank deposits to the Federal Reserve and let the New York Fed short stocks. Now, Bill, this seems to be yet another recipe for disaster.
Well, it is. The shorting of stocks or shorting of any type of asset, the aspect to that is if something goes up in price that they don't want to go up in price, they'll short it and create the price. So if you want to call it socialism, communism, what have you, they want to take control of everything. And if you ask me, with the rest of what her proposals are, it allows them literally to flip a switch and crash the entire system. And they'll crash it when and how they want to crash it. But morphing commercial bank deposits into the Fed, morphing everything and putting all the power into the Fed, that basically destroys our banking system. And I think another thing she wanted to do was get rid of FDIC.
Right.
And it's already, there's already language and law inside of FDIC that says there will not be bailouts in the future. There will be bail-ins. And to be clear, what that means is if you've got $100,000 in the bank and they bail in, you might, you could use, Cyprus as an example. Mm-hmm. You wake up the next day and you only got $30,000 in the account. The $70,000 went to the bank to keep them afloat.
Well, and in this 69-page paper published through the Vanderbilt Law Review, authored by Vesama Rova, she says exactly that, Bill. She wants to move, as you said, all commercial bank deposits to the Fed, and then this is part number two in her law review article, allowing the Fed, quote, in extreme and rare circumstances when the Fed is unable to control inflation by raising interest rates, giving them the ability to confiscate deposits from these Fed accounts in order to tighten monetary policy. Bill, it's in right here, black and white. This is about a bail-in that you just described.
Right, and you should absolutely believe them. I mean, they are giving you the warning. This is what we want to do, and this is what we will do once it's in place. So don't think this is, you know, conspiracy theory. I mean, this is conspiracy theories now only last 6 months or less until they're proven to be absolutely true. And this one right on the face of it is true.
Well, and then
because they're telling you right up front.
And then, like a great totalitarian and having control, she also states she wants to consolidate all bank regulatory functions at the office of the controller of the currency. That's the office of which she has been nominated for.
Right, and that gives them total power to go after whoever they want and also to allow whoever they want who's doing illegal things to allow them to continue to do illegal things.
Bill, for years, you and Jim Sinclair have taken a tremendous amount of grief because you have told people to get out of the system, to get out of the paper markets that are controlled by the syndicate, by the Federal Reserve, by the globalists. You have taken a tremendous amount of heat. On the other hand, if someone looks at this Vanderbilt Law Review article, the 69 pages, one realizes that rather than people giving you heat, they should have listened to you and Jim and gotten out of the system.
Yeah, we've gotten few and far between emails telling us, thank you, you were right. The idea behind get out of the system is don't have liability between you and your assets. One of the things Jim started with very early on was if you buy stock through a broker, do it the old-fashioned way. Buy the stock. Tell your broker to direct registration through the transfer agent. In other words, don't let your broker hold it, because if you purchase stock and your broker holds it, it's on your broker's balance sheet for your benefit. But if they go down, it's their asset, it's not yours. So if you directly register it with the transfer agent, now there is a, it's a direct link, and then go one step further, get the stock certificate and do it the old fashioned way. That's your receipt showing, well, it's more than a receipt, but it shows ownership. And believe it or not, even in today's world, you could sign the back of a certificate for a car, for a house, for what have you. You could trade your certificate for another asset because it's direct proof of ownership. We've also suggested that people move big cash balances into gold and silver. Gold and silver are the only monies on the planet that are not the liability of a central bank. In other words, they're not a promise. What they are is proof that labor, capital, and equipment has already been used to create that bar or coin or what have you. The other thing is, if you purchase gold and silver, that money is no longer in a bank. So if your bank goes down and you only have a few thousand dollars in it, you don't get hurt badly and your real wealth is already out of the system. The idea is get your assets as close to you as possible with as few or no counterparties between you and your asset. Because if they fail, then good luck getting access to that asset.
So, Bill, let's talk about where we are with gold and silver. What are you seeing behind the curtain as far as supply and demand, and what do you see happening with the prices of both over the next several months?
Well, as far as prices go, I mean, it's pretty clear. You can see what Omarova was talking about, the ability to short. You can see that in gold and silver. A perfect example was 2 or 3 weeks back, there was a sale of $1.6 billion worth of silver. And I'm going to tell you, there's probably no hoard that big anywhere in the world, but it was done with paper contracts, and that was roughly 10% of global production. So the spot prices are managed. As far as supply is concerned, we just went another week, this current week, or this past week, where the U.S. Mint did not deliver any Silver Eagles at all. I believe it's the Vienna Mint in Austria. They've come right out and said, we can't source blanks. And the blanks obviously are the silver that gets stamped into coins. The bottom line is there is definitely a supply chain problem. Let's just put it that way. There's a supply chain problem in silver at this point. And we've said all along that we believe there will be not one, but two resets, and you're going to go to bed. We believe it will be on a Friday. You'll wake up on Monday, and markets may or may not open, but if they do open, you're going to see vastly different pricing. And as far as silver and gold is concerned, you're probably going to go to bed one night, and then the next morning it will become the metallic symbol will be unobtainium. In other words, you're not going to be able to get it.
Right. And as you've been involved in this for decades, when you look at the markets, do you believe this is a far off event, or do you believe that this is imminent?
Oh, I think this is imminent. I mean, there's no, I can't tell you the day, the week, the month. It's not years. It's months, weeks, or could be days. I mean, they've blown the biggest financial debt bubble in the history of history. And if you're a student of history, you know that all debt bubbles collapse. And it's extremely ugly when it happens. This is the biggest one by far.
And Bill, where are we right now with premiums in gold and silver when people want to purchase them? Are they historically high, in the middle, or on the low end?
They're historically well above average on gold, and they're almost as high as they've ever been in silver. I mean, at Silver Eagle now, you're looking at roughly $10 over spot. So what is that, a 40% premium?
Mm-hmm.
And the only times we've seen that was after paper smashes. For instance, if you go back to, go all the way back to 2013, when, or 2008 and 2013, where they smashed the paper price to $9 or just under $10, but you couldn't buy an Eagle for anything under $15, $16. So at that point, you had, what, 50, 60% premiums. And here today, where Eagles are trading at a 40% premium, that's unprecedented.
Bill, as I mentioned,
I mean, typically the premium should be, I don't know, historically the premium's been 15, 18, 20% in that neighborhood.
Bill, in our closing minute and a half, educate our listeners on how they can get in touch with you and how they, I mentioned in your introduction, you're a trader. You can help them in that regard, obtain gold and silver. Educate our listeners about JS Mindset. Educate folks how they can get in touch with you.
Sure. Our website is www.jsmindset.com. We currently have a public side and a subscription side, and I am happy to announce we are going to be in the – it's being – created right now. There's so much data, that's why it's taken so long. We're creating a compendium, and what that will be is every single post that we've done, both public and subscription, going all the way back to 2008. So it actually goes back to prior to the very the days of Lehman, the great financial crisis, and it'll go all the way to current postings. And I think it's really important because you can see on a daily basis history is trying to be rewritten, erased, changed. You have it. And what this is real-time commentary as it happened. This is something, this is going to be like a time capsule that you'll be able to give your children, grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren. And I hope a lot of these surface in the future, because the word history comes from his story.
That's right.
And as you can see, his story is trying to be rewritten on a daily basis.
Bill,
and if you need to reach me, you can contact me directly at bsandboyholter@hotmail.com.
Bill, again, thank you for everything you have done, are doing, and will do. Folks, you're listening to Operation Freedom.